our guest here today with the Beaver Dam Police Department, Detective Dan Coons. Detective, thank you so much for making time for us here this morning.
Good morning, absolutely.
We have a lot to dive into, but again, our phone lines are open, so if anyone out there does have a question, you can call into the program at 885-4446 or you can text 887-9595. Again, the phone number, 885-4446, if you have a question for our guest, Detective Dan Coons, here with the Beaver Dam Police Department on Community Comment this morning. It was normally supposed to be a Beaver Dam Police Department Community Comment. Lieutenant Jeremiah Johnson reached out a couple days ago saying he was on vacation, so we had to rebook him for next week, which ended up working out pretty well considering just what had happened here the last couple of days. Just to sort of set the stage, and then I want to dive into here in our first couple of minutes, just talking about the detective's role here locally and how you kind of work this case. But just to kind of go back 2 months ago, almost 2 months ago to the day, February 3rd, an Amber Alert was issued for Sophia Martin Franklin, 16-year-old here from Beaver Dam. It was alleged she had been taken by Gary Day of Arkansas, and they had been traveling, switching license plates. A lot of news was coming about where they were going. Just on Wednesday night, they were located near Omaha, Nebraska, by deputies with the Sarpy County Sheriff's Office. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, there in Nebraska. They were able to positively identify both of them, and Gary Day was taken into custody, and Sophia Martin Franklin was taken to a facility there in Nebraska, waiting for reunification with her family after two long months of her being missing here from the Beaver Dam area. And Detective Dan Coons, essentially you were the local case lead. Is that kind of the right way to pronounce to say that here for this case?
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to categorize my role in the thing. Yeah.
And so what essentially does that entail? Obviously, this is a case that's spread across multiple states. Mm-hmm. You know, it started here in Beaver Dam, but obviously it didn't end here. So what kind of capacity do you coordinate with other agencies mm-hmm. when a case like this happens? This doesn't happen a lot, I'm sure. Was this kind of a first time for you with an Amber Alert that spread across this many states, or have you dealt with something like this?
Well, for an Amber Alert, I would say, yeah, this is the first time I believe I was personally involved in one. They're pretty rare, and there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
Because we want Amber Alerts to be something that really jumps out at people when it shows up on their phone or on billboards. So this is my first experience with an Amber Alert, not my first experience with a missing child or a missing person, and certainly not my first experience working, you know, a multi-state crime.
Sure.
You know, our role and my role in this is really just organizing resources and making sure that all the stakeholders and players that we need to make a successful outcome happen are in place. And so there's several people that I work alongside with that help me with that on the state and federal level to organize those resources, because it can be quite complicated, it can be complex, and because we don't work with each other every day,
sure, yeah.
Establishing those lines of communication and making sure, you know, there aren't too large of personalities involved that aren't able to work with others. And we really have broken through that over the past. In my career, I've seen some pretty huge changes in our ability to work with other agencies on these cases.
Yeah, maybe that's something that we can dive into in a little bit more detail later on in today's program. Just the amount of effort that goes into coordinating something of this stature, of this large capacity of multiple states across multiple weeks. And there's a lot of coordination. And you mentioned that that's a big part of what you did. Was that every single day that this was something, all right, this is obviously you have other cases and other things that come up during these last 2 months. Detective, was this something that every day you would be calling or contacting people and getting updates, or you know, what did a day in the life look like over the last couple of months for you?
It's a very front heavy thing. Yeah. So in the first, when an Amber Alert gets issued, there are all sorts of resources that get flooded into that particular investigation. So, you know, the first couple of days we had probably 30 investigators from various agencies at our police department, just starting to kind of put things together. Picture of what we were dealing with, what resources we needed to organize. And that process then kind of transitions and morphs into more of a daily a daily investigation where we work it in parallel with our federal and state partners. So that continued for a good week or two, where we had some outside investigators at our police department working these cases, connecting with agencies across the country, really, following up on leads, et cetera, using all sorts of different resources. And then as time goes on, obviously, then people have to return to other work because there are other cases, but this still remains a priority for us.
Sure, yeah.
In Beaver Dam, so I, along with my fellow detectives, and we continue to maintain those communications with all those other agencies, and we continue to follow up on leads, stay in communication with the family. I've written over 30 search warrants on the case, on various social media companies, financial institutions, et cetera, to try to identify if they're using bank accounts, if they're using social media, et cetera. So there's all sorts of stuff that goes on behind the scenes. But really, our biggest tool in our toolbox for this is getting out the information and keeping it alive, right? So yeah. One of the big things, obviously, in being in news is over time, things cycle out.
Sure, yeah.
So we've been very appreciative for you and for news media outlets in Wisconsin and across, the Midwest, really, to keep this story alive, and actually probably led to the resolution that it has.
Yeah, we can hopefully here dive into just how many tips that the agency received and how do you go about sifting through all those and what that process looks like. But we do have to take a short break here. Our guest on Community Comment today, Detective Dan Koons with the Beaver Dam Police Department. We're talking about the months-long Amber Alert that just finally wrapped up here. At least the Amber Alert wrapped up. There is still many more things that need to be done in this case that we'll also discuss here on Community Comment today. Again, we have to take a short break. More Community Comment is coming up next.
Are you excited to find your perfect fit in the workforce or looking to make an impactful change to your career? Well, 95.3 WBEV, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, and DailyDodge.com will be hosting the perfect event for you. The South Central Wisconsin Career Expo will be on April 22nd from 9:30 a.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Here, you'll have the opportunity to meet prominent employers in the area. You never know when a simple connection can go a long way, so don't miss out on the Career Expo, April 22nd at the Beaver Dam High School Fieldhouse.
Hey, honey, do we have any glue?
Look under the stack of pictures you were going to frame for me.
Hey, Mom, what's going on in the basement?
Your dad's trying to make a picture frame for your math club award.
Does he know how to make a picture frame?
I guess we'll soon find out.
What was that?
I don't even want to know.
All finished. What do you think?
Wow, Dad, a trapezoid. Not a single right angle anywhere.
If you want to preserve it, frame it at McKinstry's Home Furnishings. McKinstry's can frame anything. Graduation pictures, wedding pictures, family portraits, christening gowns, sports jerseys, awards, diplomas, and more. Preserve your special items to last a lifetime with the picture frame department at McKinstry's Home Furnishings in downtown Beaver Dam.
Now, where were those pictures you wanted framed?
That's okay, honey. I think I'll just take them to McKinstry's.
The Beaver Dam Area Chamber of Commerce congratulates all of the innovative businesses and young leaders honored at this year's awards dinner. Congratulations to these 5 under 40 honorees. Melanie Booty of Booty Realty. Alyssa Gilmore of American Bank. Allie Roth of WDS Construction. Mitch Sherbring of John Deere. And Kyle Schrader of Kyle Schrader Agency LLC American Family. Hats off to emerging leaders Anna Sophia Schultz and Christopher Bourne. A round of applause for the Innovative Small Business of the Year Let's Go Play and the honorable mention Pine Hill Insurance Services. Kudos to Nonprofit of the Year GPS Ed and honorable mention the Beaver Dam Area Community Theater. The Large Business of the Year is Burgess Norton, part of Amstead Auto. To find more information about all these amazing winners, visit beaverdamchamber.com.
Don't wait. Continue your orthopedic care today. For years, Dodge County has trusted Marshfield Medical Center Beaver Dam Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Now's the time to see why. We've expanded services, making it easier for you to get the care you need when you need it. Diagnosis, treatment, recovery. We're here for you. Marshfield Medical Center Beaver Dam Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Request your appointment at ortho.marshfieldclinic.org.
They keep you informed on the Dodge County landscape. We keep the inside of your home looking great. Professional Floor Covering welcomes you to the next segment of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Welcome back into Community Comment here on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Again, Community Comment is brought to you by Professional Floor Covering and McKintry's Home Furnishings. You can check them out at McKintry'sHomeFurnishings.com. They are have a lot of services, great services available for customers, including picture framing services. McKintry's Home Furnishings stocks a large selection of picture frame moldings and conservation mattings and glass. This ensures prompt and proper professional framing of your needlework, family photos, wedding pictures, oil paintings, wildlife prints, and award certificates. They've also even framed a guitar. Best of all, you'll be amazed at the low everyday prices. Let McKintry's sales designers help you select just the right frame and matting to enhance the beauty of your artwork as well as your home. Take the frameable pieces to McKintry's Home Furnishings. You'll be very happy you did. Again, McKintry'sHomeFurnishings.com. You can check them also out in person at downtown Beaver Dam on Front Street under the red awning. You're listening here to Community Comments on 95.3 WBEV. Our guest here this morning is Detective Dan Coons with the Beaver Dam Police Department. We are discussing this ongoing case that has been taking the headlines here, and not only locally but across the country. Muncelon Amber Alert that started February 3rd that just wrapped up. The Amber Alert part of it wrapped up just Wednesday night, but there is still a large investigative piece that still is ongoing as charges are being filed both locally and federally as well. Detective, something that we discussed a little bit off air is just the two sides to this. There's the local component, which you're the lead on. You're the lead on this case, essentially. But your burden of proof, you mentioned here, is in Dodge County. What transpired here, what crimes had taken place here. But there's also the statewide, federal component that, this crossed state lines, that this has happened in several different crimes had been broken in several different states. So there's this component where you're working on, this local side, and then the FBI is working on the federal side. And just how has that partnership worked between the department and the FBI investigating this case?
Yeah, I would say that we work very well together. It's been actually a pleasure working with our state partners and our federal partners. They've been nothing but great for us, from FBI to Department of Homeland Security. Homeland Security investigations have been wonderful, because we're kind of limited by our location and our resources. We're a smaller department. We're not built for larger investigations.
Sure.
Some departments are, but we're just not. Some departments have these agents embedded in their departments, but we just don't, because these are fairly rare in Beaver Dam, right? So when we reached out to the FBI down in Arkansas and DHS, they were absolutely willing to help us out. So, when we're coming through search warrants, when we're coming through financial statements and documents, they're willing to, help us out and support that role.
Yeah.
And when they're following up on leads, we would get the Amber Alert went out with our information on it. So every time we would receive a lead, it would come through our dispatch, and then we would be required to follow up with that. And when we would send that off to whatever agency would be the most appropriate for that lead, everybody's been willing to say, I'll go check it out. I'm going to look at that. And you have good people out there following up on these leads, because as we know, it takes one, right?
Yeah.
It took one person to see this, and we knew all along that's probably going to be the way this ended, is through the right person seeing something and noticing something. But it's just been so nice to have people in roles involved in this investigation that you can count on.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to really in our job.
Yeah, I want to ask you just kind of about how, obviously you mentioned before we came on air today, the Sarpy County Sheriff's Office held a press conference after this had transpired, just going into the details of that location, how that they went about identifying, and hopefully we can talk a little bit about that. But first,
sure.
I just want to ask just the process that, at least locally for you guys here at the Beaver Dam Police Department, for you, Detective Dan Coons, what was it like when all these tips were coming in? How do you sift through, all right, this is something that, could lead to a potential lead that we want to follow, or this is something that, all right, we can maybe put this back and come back around to this? Obviously, you have to pick and choose, mm-hmm. Because there's so, I'm sure there was a lot of tips that were coming in. But how did that process work for investigators to pick and choose what to follow up on?
Well, we don't pick and choose what to follow up on. Everyone gets followed up on.
Yeah.
So some of the tips have precise information. Some of them have kind of vague information. Some people leave their names. Some people don't. So a lot of times when people don't leave the information, there's a lot more we would like to ask questions about, you know, specific locations, et cetera, further questions, follow-up questions for them. So it's kind of difficult sometimes because they don't leave their information. They just provide what they provide, and that's what we're working with. In this type of case, we had quite a few tips, you know, hey, I think I saw that vehicle on a highway or on an interstate in this area. That can be difficult because, as you know, by the time we get that tip and follow up with it, it's been an hour, 2 hours, or a day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they're on an interstate, obviously they could be, right. You know, 8 hours down the road.
Yeah.
And the initial information in this investigation was the fact that they're in this black car. And we know that he collected license plates. And we know that he switched license plates. And so that made it a little bit more difficult for us to search for his vehicle. We've talked about flock cameras before. Mm-hmm. Those are all over the country. So, you know, we have detectives that are sifting through thousands and thousands of images of flock camera images trying to find our vehicle just based on unique characteristics of the vehicle rather than the license plate. So, you know, we take that information and then we apply what resources we can use to follow up on that information. And, you know, obviously sometimes they lead to good information, sometimes they don't. Yeah. But the people that are calling don't know, right?
Sure.
So they're just doing their best and saying, hey, this could be something, it might not be. And that's really what our jobs are. I mean, is really just following up on information regardless of what it is, because we don't know until we know.
Yeah.
So
I think there's another angle to this whole story that I haven't brought up yet, but it's something I do want to ask, because obviously a lot of people probably wondering this themselves. Obviously, Sophia Franklin is pregnant with allegedly with Gary Day's child. When you're pregnant, there's obviously medical appointments that are needed to be done, or you need to be seen by a doctor in order to make sure that that process is going smoothly, that everybody's healthy and protected. As a detective in this case, did you ever feel like, you know, maybe we could use follow up on a lead here? If we're not finding her, we're not getting close to locating her. Mm-hmm. Was that angle something that you guys knew in your back pocket that, all right, at some point they're going to have to check in at a medical facility? Or did that not really ring true, or not something that you knew that was a possibility because of a lot of clinics that people can go into and mm-hmm. just give not a lot of identifying information?
No, absolutely. There was that, in addition to many other things we were doing proactively. So
sure,
we weren't
yeah.
just on a reactive level to respond and react to tips. There were proactive measures that we were taking, and certainly her being pregnant was one of the things that we were thinking about. So we had several of our partners in states adjacent to us and where we thought they might be or be going, reach out to their hospital associations and some of their Planned Parenthood type clinics
yeah.
to make sure that they're at least aware of the Amber Alert. You know, there's a little bit of a push and pull because there's some HIPAA concerns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they going to proactively contact us? But I do believe at the end of the day, most people understand that this is an overriding concern. And she is a child
yeah.
in the eyes of the law. So so we had very good cooperation from pretty much every medical institution that we had spoken with or association, that they were sent pictures and said, hey, if this person happens to come in, because as we know, people could, you know, they could tell a different name
yep. Yep.
or provide information. So unless you saw a picture of them, you may not recognize them if they came in. So to my knowledge, I don't believe we received any. We received several tips that people might have seen them at medical clinics, which we follow up with, but those never panned out. And that's okay. But we would rather have a whole bunch of questionable tips or things that didn't pan out than none at all.
Yeah.
So that just shows the effectiveness of the dissemination of the information and the effectiveness of an Amber Alert. So we're glad to have the Amber Alert as a tool, because when you say Amber Alert to an organization or to, you know, a hospital or whatever, that grabs mm-hmm. their attention. Mm-hmm. So it helps us out, gives us a little bit more leverage.
Yeah, also we saw the case featured, I'm drawing a blank on the name of the show, but it was a countrywide show that focuses on police investigations. And I know the Beaver Dam Police Department Facebook page shared the segment of that show covering this case, and just how important it is to have as many individual agencies, news outlets, medias covering this and getting that news out there and making sure that people know what these people look like and be able to spot them.
Yeah, so there's there's an organization called the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Mm-hmm. They're really sort of the conduit to expose information. So gas station pumps, the little videos you might see there, they have connections to those organizations that publish those little short snippets. They hooked us up with On Patrol Live that allowed us to do that short little segment because you don't know, you know, is that going to be the one that sure. gets you to somebody that sees them? Because at some point you can't outrun information. And ultimately that's what happened here.
Yeah.
Somebody was aware of something didn't look right. They looked it up, found it, and there we are. Yeah. So.
And yeah, I'd like to, in our next segment here, dive into just what the Sarpy County Sheriff's Office went through, what they received and followed up on, and ultimately we're able to identify Sophia Martin Franklin and Gary Day near Omaha, Nebraska. We do have to take another short break. More community comment is coming up next.
If you missed the Garden Doctor program this week with Dick Zondag from Jung Garden Center, no worries. Listen back to the program this Saturday at 10 a.m. right here on 95.3 WBEV. Plus, you can rewatch anytime on Daily Dodge TV.
Enjoy a summer at Rock River Tap Bar and Grill in downtown Horicon. Come enjoy their pet-friendly outside deck seating. Enjoy drinks and homemade pizza with a full-size dining area to enjoy the big game of your liking all summer long on their selection of TVs. Looking for large spaces for birthday or anniversary celebrations? Call today to make a reservation. 920-485-4241. To learn more, go to Rock River Tap Bar and Grill on Facebook.
Still broadcasting comfortably from the Slumberland Furniture Studio. You're listening to 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump says on social media he had a productive call with Vietnam's president about a potential trade deal. Vietnam's home to manufacturing hubs for many U.S. companies like Apple and Nike. The president slapped Vietnam with 46% tariffs. Secretary of State Marco Rubio defended the tariffs in Brussels.
The president rightly has concluded that the current status of global trade is bad for America and good for a bunch of other people, and he's going to reset it, and he's absolutely right to do it.
But Wall Street may not agree. Major markets on pace for their worst week in several years. The Dow, S&P, and the NASDAQ all down by more than 3%. Congressional Democrats want answers about the president's decision to fire the director of the National Security Agency and his top civilian deputy Thursday. Authorities in Franklin County, Kentucky, say a boy died after being swept away by floodwaters en route to a bus stop. Almost all of Kentucky's under some kind of flash flood watch. This is ABC News.
Award-winning news you can count on. WBEV.
There are significant updates to the Beaver Dam Ride Project. The initiative aims to raise $150,000 to revitalize and improve the existing BMX and skate park. They're moving forward in large part with their design plans to offer an environment for people at every stage of action sports experience, and they now are accepting donations through their Facebook page. To learn more about the Beaver Dam Ride Project, go to dailydodge.com. The Beaver Dam School District has announced the 2024 Wall of Fame Award recipients. James Campbell has been selected as the outstanding alumni. The award honors a district graduate for their exceptional accomplishments. The Friends of Education Award is going to Chuck and Jeannie Stengel. The award recognizes individuals who have given distinguished service to the district and its students. Award plaques will be permanently displayed on the high school's Wall of Fame in the Commons area. The annual Farmers Market will be returning to Beaver Dam on Saturday, May 1st, and running through the last Saturday in October. Beaver Dam Chamber of Commerce Executive Director Tracy Probst says the vendors are still being accepted, and anyone who is interested should go to the Chamber website to sign up. A link is at dailydodge.com. Waupun Mayor Ron Bishop says the city is monitoring the Rock River for possible flooding this spring. With rain, snow, and sleet Wednesday, it was at the top of its banks. Bishop says they do experience some small flooding each spring, but nothing like what happened last June when the city got about 6 inches of rain over 24 hours. In an effort to avoid future flooding, the city had spent about $50,000 on various studies. And finally, regional jobless claims stayed relatively steady in the second month of 2025. The State Department of Workforce Development says the unemployment rate in Dodge County was 3.3% in February, a 0.2% jump from January. Last year, the number was 3.2%. Dodge County also fell two spots in the statewide unemployment ranking to 14th. I'm Justin Wilski reporting from the Daily Dodge News Center. Submit your news tips at dailydodge.com.
cloudy today with a slight chance for showers. Daytime highs approaching 51, easterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of rain showers tonight, lows level off around 36, cloudy. Mainly cloudy skies tomorrow, slight chance of rain showers. Daytime highs approaching 48. A dusting of snow Sunday night. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Currently 45.
You know that old Wisconsin saying, if you don't like the weather, just wait a few minutes. Well, JB Mechanical is here to ensure your home's heating and cooling system is ready for all of it. As your trusted local HVAC expert, JB Mechanical installs top-of-the-line systems to keep your home comfortable no matter what Mother Nature throws at you. From chilly mornings to warm afternoons, they've got you covered with precision, care, and expert service. Invest in your comfort today and give JB Mechanical a call online at jbmacllc.com. You're proud. Trained dealer.
Serve your community with the 6th annual Global Youth Service Day Food Drive, provided by Playground Movement. Local businesses collect food, which is then donated and packed into bags, which are given out to 125 families. Visit playmovebd.org to find more information. You can also visit the Playground Movement Facebook page to sign up and volunteer on April 26th and April 27th at the YMCA of Dodge County. Can't make it on the 26th and 27th? Donate food items to the designated businesses located in Beaver Dam. Together, we can make a difference.
Satisfy all appetites with this week's deals at Beaver Dam Food Pride. Family packs of 81% lean ground beef are $3.99 a pound. Ideal for making burgers, tacos, or spaghetti that everyone will love. Sweeten things up with Driscoll's strawberries or raspberries, two for just $5. And Angus Pride boneless beef ribeye steaks sizzle at $14.99 a pound. Stock up on Food Pride bottled water, 24 packs, just $2.99. Plus, check your perks app for the deals of the week. Make family mealtime easy and shop Beaver Dam Food Pride.
Providing this community beautiful floors and so much more, the team at Professional Floor Covering can't wait to connect with our friends through today's community comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Welcome back into today's community comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Community comment brought to you by Professional Floor Covering at McKintry's Home Furnishings. Our guest here today on our program is Detective Dan Coons with the Beaver Dam Police Department. If you have a question for our guest, again, that phone number is 885-4446, or you can text 887-9595 to call in. One more time, 885-4446, if you have a question for our guest, Detective Dan Coons with the Beaver Dam Police Department, the lead investigator on a missing Beaver Dam teen case that started early February, wrapped up. I keep saying wrapped up, but it's not really wrapped up. There's still a lot of angles to investigate. There's the criminal court component of this that will still have many months and potentially years to play out in the court systems. You'll be called in, I'm sure, to testify in hearings as well. So, even though the safe resolution, what everybody hoped for, thankfully ended up happening. Sophia Martin Franklin was located safe near Omaha, Nebraska, late Wednesday night. Detective, you'd mentioned to us that you had gotten the phone call close to midnight, quarter to midnight around there, hearing that they had been identified. What was your first thoughts or reactions when you got that phone call that Sophia Martin Franklin was found?
I think my first reaction was, let's confirm, you know, because sure, yeah. A lot of the times, you know, you get information, you get a little excited about it. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the tips we received, you get a tip and you kind of have that spidey sense as a cop, like this doesn't seem right or this looks like it could be good. But when we got that call, my first reaction is let's confirm. Mm-hmm. And once we confirmed through various means, or they confirmed through various means, my first thought is we gotta notify parents, you know. Yeah. Because you know, as a parent, you know, that's the first thing I would want. I would hope I'm the first person they call.
Sure. Yeah.
So I was elated to call them. I mean, if most people are a little like discombobulated at about midnight. So, you know, when I made that call to parents, I felt very, very good, very confident that that we had them, and that they're together.
Yeah.
That
you got both of them.
That we found them both together, which was very good. So that was my big priority at that moment, was getting off the phone with Nebraska and giving them a call to pass along the news.
And as a law enforcement officer, I'm sure those are the moments that you were like, all right, this is why I do what I do. This is why I still love what I do, and this is why I'm in this job, is all the hard work paid off, and the resolution, a positive resolution was came about in this case. And I want to now kind of look at what happened there in Omaha, Nebraska, or near Omaha, Nebraska. Mm-hmm. Was it at a public place? What happened that was able to lead law enforcement and deputies down there in Nebraska to be able to positively identify these two and bring about a resolution in this case?
So a local citizen, I don't know if they were also a trucker, but somebody that was at a truck stop just south of Omaha had witnessed several individuals that were together that just didn't look like it was the right situation.
Sure.
Everybody has that sense. Mm-hmm. And some people paying attention, some people are not, especially in the middle of the night. Especially at a truck stop.
Yeah.
Right. You get all sorts of people in and out, So fortunately we had the right person at the right time that noticed something just didn't seem right. I believe, and I don't have reports yet, but based on what the sheriff out of that county had put out at a press conference, they had engaged actually Sophia with a conversation, mm-hmm. Didn't feel right about it, returned to a private setting and began looking online for missing people cases. And again, this is where dissemination of information is important because we had the Amber Alert and we kept the information alive and it was out there. They found our alert and a flyer and a picture, mm-hmm. And said, yeah, that looks pretty close.
Yeah,
and Gary had changed his appearance. I'd grown out his beard. I don't know, her appearance had changed at all or how she looked, but immediately called 911, and they responded, and they received some false names when they arrived. Technology is pretty good to us, and they were able to confirm through a mobile fingerprint system that he was providing a false name, and it came back to him based on some previous arrest records.
So they were still at that truck stop?
Right there. Yep.
Still right there when law enforcement arrived. They, yep. they interviewed them there at the scene, and they were able to positively identify both as Sophia Martin Franklin and Gary Day. And obviously then Gary Day is arrested immediately and then taken to a local jail facility. Has he been extradited back here to Dodge County, or what's the update there with where he's at in the criminal system?
So a lot of people don't understand how this all works.
Yeah,
there's some records online from that county that shows that he has a bond, and I believe they have a 10% thing there. So it's 10% of $5,000 is his bond down there. So $500 to bond, for him to bond or to post bond.
Sure.
However, he has multiple nationwide extraditable warrants, so he could post bond on there, but he's not going anywhere. Because we requested that he be extradited to Wisconsin. And because every state has their own laws, we can't just transfer prisoners across state lines without proper court process. So he has to go through an extradition hearing in Nebraska. He can contest that, which could prolong the process, but either way, he remains in jail. If he waives that process or a judge grants the extradition, he would be brought back to Wisconsin by jail staff here, brought to Wisconsin and put in our jail, where he would remain until he can post bond here. That obviously has yet to be seen how much that bond will be. And even if he were to post that bond, he has outstanding charges in the state of Arkansas, and there's an order to detain against him from the federal government. So I think it's safe to say that he's not being released from custody anytime soon.
A lot of times judges will determine if an individual is a flight risk or if there's a concern of them fleeing when setting bond conditions. And obviously you look at a case like this, I'm sure that'll be something that's taken into consideration. And first, I need to make a quick note. I've been saying Sophia Martin Franklin. I should have been saying Sophia Martha Franklin is her middle name. I apologize for pronouncing that incorrectly here for the last little bit here. But Detective, are you able to talk a little bit about where updates are with Sophia? Is she back home, or is that something that we can't
probably not get into that too much? I can say that she's healthy. She's back with her parents, and they're going to work through the process of reacclimating their home life. Okay. I think they deserve their privacy. which we'll give to them for some time. And so I think everybody respects that. And so let that process play out for them on a personal level. So she's safe, and we'll leave them try to get back to some normalcy.
Sure.
Which is obviously going to take some time.
Yeah. When we come back here on Community Comment, we'd like to spend our last segment really talking about what's next for Detective Dan Koons, and just in this case, you know, what's on the horizon here. Obviously, we mentioned that there's still a lot to be done, a lot of paperwork that needs to be written up and filed and submitted in this case, and court hearings and procedures to be done in the coming months and potentially years here in this case. You're listening here to Community Comment with our guest, Detective Dan Koons, a 95.3 WBEV. We have to take another short break. More Community Comment is coming up next.
When the time comes for a helping hand, we're America's choice in home care. When you or your loved ones need assistance, visiting angels will be there.
April is Gardening Month. During Gardening Month, Visiting Angels wants you to know that with planning, home caregivers can create a safe, accessible, and enjoyable environment for gardening. Caring for plants is especially good for seniors who have been caregivers their whole lives and are now experiencing role reversal and need a sense of purpose. Just as plants in a garden have individual needs and preferences, Visiting Angels provides personalized, customized home care for your loved ones. Schedule a free consultation at visitingangels.com. That's visitingangels.com. Visitingangels.com.
Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care.
This message is sponsored by WiscCaregiver.com. People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? WiscCaregiver.com gets you started. Choose between two great options. Become a CDCP, Certified Direct Care Professional, or a CNA, Certified Nurse Aide. Training is free, plus earn a $500 bonus. It's easy to start your new career. Learn more at WiscCaregiver.com.
Choosing the right windows is key to your home's beauty, comfort, and efficiency. That's why Hometown Glass and Improvement features pinnacle windows from Lindsay. With sleek designs, cutting-edge energy efficiency, and a lifetime warranty, pinnacle windows from Lindsay save you money and add value to your home. Plus, they meet ENERGY STAR standards and are made in the USA. The Hometown Glass and Improvement team will guide you from consultation to installation. Visit the Hometown Glass and Improvement showroom in Beaver Dam or online at hometownglass.com.
Doctors Jackie and Colby McIntyre of Marshview Veterinary Clinic in Randolph are here for you if your pet isn't feeling well.
At Marshview Veterinary Clinic, we are happy to provide urgent care veterinary services to animals in our community. Urgent care cases come up all the time where you're all of a sudden realizing that your pet is bothering their ear. You need to have them seen. In many cases, we can be available within a day or so to see those cases.
To make an appointment, call Marshview Veterinary Clinic in Randolph today or visit marshviewvetclinic.com.
Wheel of Meat!
Every Monday morning at 7:40, listen for your chance to spin the Leroy Meats Wheel of Meat. It's full of specialty meat items. The Leroy Meats Wheel of Meat, Monday mornings at 95.3 WBEV.
Hear what's going on in your community. Stay tuned to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, presented by Professional Floor Covering.
Welcome back into our last segment of Community Comment today here on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Again, Community Comment is brought to you by Professional Floor Covering and McKinstry's Home Furnishings here in Beaver Dam. Our guest on the program this morning is Detective Dan Koons. We've been discussing an Amber Alert that has just been cleared out of the system here just Wednesday evening or early Thursday morning. I think I got the official email around 1. I checked at 1:30, quarter to 2 in the morning, I think, was when the statewide agency sent that out saying that Sophia Martha Franklin has been located safe and that Gary Day has been taken into custody. That a safe and a positive resolution to this case has been achieved. But obviously now that component is done. The search is wrapped up there, but that doesn't mean, Detective, that your role in this case is done. What are the next steps? What are the next things that you in your capacity with this case will be doing here in the next couple of months and potentially years as this works its way through the court system?
I think number one is supporting the family, providing resources to support the family. And fortunately, the state has some pretty good victim coordinators that work directly with them to provide resources and things they might need. So does our DA's office. They're very good professionals in that role. My role would be to backtrack. I mean, we have 2 months of unknown activity. So we're using the assistance of, because I'm not in Nebraska.
Sure.
And I wasn't in Nebraska when they were found. Fortunately, we had some investigators there that were able to interview both of them and uncover some information. We take that information and we run with it. You know, we corroborate it. And then, you know, there's checking with other people. And we have truck drivers. We have, you know, other cities now that have been uncovered on where they might have been, other states, potentially other crimes that need to be looked into and investigated. So really, we're only just at the very beginning. I mean, you'll hear a lot of times when you have larger cases, an agency will come out and say, we're just really in the infancy stages of the investigation. And at this point, I would probably characterize it as such.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that have to be done. Just because they're found doesn't mean, okay, we're good. We have to backtrack and find out what they're doing, what they're up to, if there's any new crimes, et cetera, that we have to investigate. So again, going back to when we started, establishing and having all these resources and relationships with partners at federal levels, especially when you're talking right now, really, you're talking about the entire middle and western part of the country. It's very difficult to contact, hey, this department, this department, this department. So because we have partners with HSI and FBI, who has connections with thousands of police departments across the country and resources, we can utilize them and they can go out and do a lot of the work, the heavy lifting.
So essentially, you'll be able to utilize their support and their assistance to investigate anything that you need to investigate. You won't have to ever leave the state here or the city to go out and investigate. Has that ever happened, or is that something that you will not foresee happening? Obviously, it's hard to know as we sit here today, but is that something that you think could potentially be the case?
If we get a nexus to Hawaii, I'll ask the chief if I can follow up on that. But no, yeah, I mean, because we have such good relationships and a lot of law enforcement agencies that are really just willing to help out. There's not a lot of need to unless you have special knowledge of something that you really want to hammer home. But because we just ask investigators from that respective agency to go out and do some of the work for us, which they're happy to do.
And has a criminal complaint then been filed here in Dodge County against Gary Day? That has been filed. Is that something that you had input in? A lot of times criminal complaints that I've had an opportunity to read are essentially summarizations from law enforcement officers of the chain of events that had transpired. Is that something that you contributed to when that criminal complaint was put together?
Yeah, the criminal complaint was actually filed just days after Sophia went missing. Mm. And the reason that we have to do that is because we need to get a warrant issued. Because if he were ever to be located, you know, between now and then, there needs to be some kind of information in the system that allows whatever law enforcement officer might be stopping them to detain them. They can't just stop and hold based on, you know, hey, can you please hold them for a few days? A warrant allows them to hold them. And then her missing person record in the system also allows them to hold her until we can pick her up. So that's called NCIC. It's a nationwide system that when we enter a warrant, which is based on probable cause, that the district attorney's office filed with the court just days after she went missing, that was entered into the system. And now any law enforcement officer that were to run him, that would pop in the system. He provided a false name. You cannot run your fingerprints. That pop for him. And then they had the authority to hold him on that warrant and their local charges.
Yeah. And as investigators interview those involved with this case, is that criminal complaint then fleshed out? Is it added with facts that happen that the DA then brings to a judge and charges could be changed or altered depending upon what you guys uncover as you investigate this case?
Yeah, I would say that you're probably going to see the criminal complaint be expanded to include other facts as we move forward. We'll see how that plays out. As far as additional charges, might be hard to say. I think you may or may not see additional charges from other jurisdictions around the country, depending on the facts that we uncover. But that's going to have to play itself out over the next few weeks, months.
Right, exactly. Yeah, there's still a lot to be done. And Detective, I want to ask you a question. Obviously, when there are court hearings, you know, preliminary hearings, arraignment hearings, sometimes they will ask detectives or those involved to testify at those hearings if it goes to trial as well. What role does law enforcement play then when the court process is being played out? You know, if at a prelim when, you know, they will either enter a plea of guilty or that's an arraignment, excuse me, where they will enter a plea of guilty or not guilty. You know, is that something then you go in and sort of just you're asked questions by the DA or the defense lawyers in these cases and will give your account of what happened? Is that essentially kind of what you guys do when going into court and being questioned there?
It allows us to put the criminal complaint into a testifying record. Mm-hmm. So we go in and we testify at a preliminary hearing to the criminal complaint, not the full facts of the case, but just what's laid out in the criminal complaint that's public at this point. It lays out basically the reason that Gary Day was a suspect in the first place and how we got a warrant for his arrest. So that will happen. Additional facts, like I said, may be included in that criminal complaint. So I suspect that process will begin to play itself out in about a month or so.
Yeah. Will you be yourself at some point? Obviously, maybe it's hard to answer this at this point, but being the lead investigator, will at some point you be interviewing Gary Day?
Gary Day has been interviewed already.
Okay.
And I've been told that he did provide a statement, which is good. Because it gets everything out on the table. It allows us to understand full facts and kind of what they were doing, what they were up to. So I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess that we'll have to figure that out. But I do believe he's given a full statement to an investigator in Nebraska.
Our guest here today on Community Comment, Detective Dan Coons with the Beaver Dam Police Department. Detective, we just have a few more minutes left here on Community Comment today. But with that time, I just want to give you the opportunity to sort of thank all the people that played a role in working on this case, whether it be the law enforcement agencies, the public being able to submitted tips and kept this in the public eye for the last 2 months, and that we're able to see a positive resolution here in this case. What do you have to say to everyone who played a role in getting this to a positive resolution here in this case?
I would say we can't do it without the cooperation of everybody involved. I mean, I'm gonna just pound out a list as best I can off the top of my head. Yeah. You know, it's our police department. It's all the members of our patrol that, you know, took the initial complaint and began investigating right away. It's bringing in resources from Department of Criminal Investigations. We're out of the Milwaukee office. They sent up, you know, 25, 30 agents to begin working this case right from the get-go, several of which stayed on board for about a week afterwards. And then we have an email thread that includes about 25 different law enforcement officers from various agencies, including Homeland Security, FBI, et cetera. We use Midwest Organized Crime Intelligence Center, MOCIC, is a center that we go to, and they have analysts that you will look on flock images. They'll take data and try to figure out stuff for us that we don't have to utilize our resources. So all of these things, when you kind of put them into a big group and everybody kind of shares information and communicates effectively, it really allows us to progress in the investigation quickly. And that's what we need in these cases, is to get information quickly. And that can be very difficult, because are you doing this? Is somebody doing that? You're both doing the same thing. So we can all kind of round table and go through these things. It makes things much easier to work with as a detective. So information organization is super important on the get-go of these investigations. So all those agencies helping out has been just priceless.
Yeah, and we appreciate here locally the work that the Beaver Dam Police Department did to investigate this case and, again, bring it to a positive resolution that we can report here, 95.3 WBEV. Again, our guests here on Community Comment today, Detective Dan Coons with the Beaver Dam Police Department. Detective, thank you again so much for joining us on the program this morning.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it.
And that will do it for today's Community Comment.